Hi, everyone. Thank you again for joining us on this episode of the Voices for Voices TV show and podcast. I am your host, founder and executive director of Voices for Voices, Justin Allen Hayes. And we ask kindly if you can subscribe, like this episode, so we can share and reach as many people as possible to reach my goal and dream of reaching and helping 3 billion people over the course of my lifetime and beyond. So today in the studio, our guest, I'm just going to give a little bit of a backstory of how I met our guest. So I was at church one Saturday afternoon. So two and a half years, it might even be three. And our guest had a red T-shirt on, and it said on the back, "Hearts for Music," or it might have been the front, which he's wearing today that you'll see. And for our organization, as you know, we have an event each year, and we wanted to bring music to that first event, which is how Voices for Voices started. So long story, I guess even a little bit longer. After church, got home, went to the website for the organization Hearts for Music, and that's how I first learned about our guest. And since reaching out that day, a couple days later, I think we connected, and we've maintain a friendship and sharing information, and all with the hopes of helping others. So the guest today is Mr. Kitriel Chin. He is the president, director, and the founder of Hearts for Music Inc. He holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology from the University of British Columbia, and that's in Canada. And also a degree in music therapy from Shenandoah University in Virginia. In addition, he is also a professional board-certified music therapist with well over 15 years of 17 years of clinical experience, and his specialty certificate is in hospice and palliative care. Music therapy from the New York Center for End-of-Life Care. And over the years, our guest, Mr. Kitriel Chin, has been blessed with the joy and privilege of working with many kids and young adults with Hearts for Music. And we'll get into everything about Hearts for Music, how it began, and the growth that has happened in the last couple of years, as well as an announcement for what's to come as this episode will be airing on Wednesday, January 3rd. So we're excited for all this conversation that we're going to have. So, Kitriel, it's great to see you again. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's my pleasure.
So maybe if you could talk a little bit about your background and then how Hearts for Music came to be an idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for the lovely introduction, and it's a joy and honor to be on your show. And I started out during, I did a psych degree initially, and I wanted to combine psych and music together. And I went into psych originally because I was like, ooh, the idea of controlling people seems good. And then I love music. I was born on the piano, and I've been studying and playing the piano since I was about 7 or 8 years old. And I wanted to see whether I could combine the two of them together. Music therapy had just more or less come into the scene. And so from Canada, in Vancouver, I bounced all the way to Virginia. In Shenandoah, where I did a music therapy degree, and that was like, wow, this is great. This is what my calling. So, music therapy is the clinical application of music to treat a variety of populations. And currently, I'm blessed to have been doing this since, oh gosh, 2000. So, Yeah, almost 23 years.
Yeah, we're 23, yeah.
I'm getting old. So, and I've been also wonderfully blessed to have worked with everyone across the life spectrum, from neonatal units all the way to my hospice, end-of-life care. They're 100 years old, and it's just been wonderful to see how music impacts every stage of their life and all the disabilities that come across. About Hearts for Music was an offshoot of that. Maybe about eight to 10 years ago, I started up a rock band specifically for children and teens with special needs. And I did that over the summer, and that's been a wonderful, wonderful endeavor to do it. And by me, about six, seven years ago, I had a bunch of kids come up to me, some of them in tears, telling me they couldn't be part of band, couldn't be part of orchestra, because they were too disabled or they were too artistic. But they were told to their faces they were either too slow, too dumb, and if they could play instrument, they could play the drum really quietly, all at the back. Oh. And that drove me absolutely bonkers. Because I've been working with them for so long and I knew what they were capable of. But I also have been on the education side of it, and I do understand from an education standpoint of view, yes, they would hold. You know, it's difficult to have a handful of them in a room full of 30 other regular peers. You know, so I do understand that conundrum, but at the same time, I was very annoyed that all they were allowed to do was beat a drum at the back. So I said, well, if there's nothing for you, we'll make something for you. So I'm very big about creating unique experiences, and that's what music therapy is. It's crafting experiences to the unique individual, their nature. And so I said, well, yeah, if there isn't anything, let's go make something for you. And iPads had more or less come into the mainstream. A lot of people using them primarily for speech application, communication. And the idea was, okay, can I bring these iPads or digital devices and have them play music together, the group? So I went around to my community up in Manaway, and I corralled 5-6 kids and teens with a variety of disabilities. And the idea behind it is, if I play a C on a keyboard or any digital instrument, and you close your eyes, you can't tell if that person is missing toes, making fingers, is disabled, autistic, or has cerebral palsy, or whatever diagnosis. You just hear sound. And so I wanted to see whether, well, could we apply that concept across the board? So I swiped a couple of kids and teens, and we have some lovely pictures on our Facebook site, two of the first times when we started that out. And I was very pleasantly surprised. One, nobody ran away. Two, they all had a good time. Three, they all worked. It worked. They didn't have to learn to read music. They didn't have to learn how to play instrument. They just simply had to learn how to play together. As long as they read their alphabet, they could move their fingers up and down across the chords. So for all intents and purposes, they were a string ensemble, and I would overlay the melody on top of it. So now the idea was, okay, as they got bigger and bigger, I found there were more populations we could impact. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, exactly how far could I run with this? And the idea was, can I include every single disability under the sun, under one roof, as far as possible, performing music? And I had this little vision of a kiddo and with 4 years old and cerebral palsy in wheelchair, all the way to an 80-year-old with Alzheimer's and other special needs. And under normal circumstances, as we live now, those worlds are completely separate. Under normal circumstances, a child with cerebral palsy would never, ever in a million years have the occasional opportunity or the inclination to be friends with an 80-year-old with Alzheimer's. Their worlds are completely separate. The same thing with autism. If you go to activity with autism, you'll see people with autism, but you don't see people, say, with cerebral palsy kind of interacting. most of the activities and recreational activities kind of geared towards that particular population. There are very few, if any, activities apart from something like, say, Special Olympics, but you try to grab everybody together. But what I wanted to do was completely collide all those worlds together in one spot, on one roof, all together. So on a scale and scope that's not been seen. So when we did our research, we found that there are groups and ensembles that have special needs kids and adults and teens. And some of them have actually learned to manipulate instruments. But then you run into the problem that if a kiddo is disabled, missing, amputated, and is cognitively disabled to boot, then you run into the problem, okay, they can't manipulate instruments, they can't read music, how do we include them? So you still have exclusions. And I wanted Hearts for Music to be inclusive to the absolute maximum limit that we could do, where there's no age and there's no disability restrictions. With very, very few exceptions, everybody is invited to come and play music and be and create and the joy of performing in public. So I'm very fond of telling people now that we now have, from our little group in the basement of Hilltop Christian Church, which was awesome to help us start things off, we now have several locations throughout Summit County and even beyond where we have our kids, teens, and adults all combining to perform music together under one single roof. And the repertoire ranges anywhere from classical to jazz to gospel to Disney music. A lot of our kiddos love Disney music, so we got rather large Disney repertoire. But the heart of Heart for Music is love. It's love for our neighbor. And Mother Teresa is our patron saint, because as she served the poorest of the poor, we seek to serve the most disabled of the disabled. And music is the vehicle to do that. And we were most blessed when you came and you approached us to ask us for help with your first fundraiser. And I still remember that day when you said, hey, we could get the Akron Symphony. And my crazy idea at that time was, okay, all these kids can play music. They're all on digital instruments. They'll never sound out of tune. Can we have them play with professional musicians? And I was knocking on the door of the ASO and the Cleveland Symphony, and both doors were locked initially. And you were so kind to help me get a contact over the ASO, and we managed to get the door open, and they actually sent out a quartet to play with us on that day of the gala, which was wonderful. And we had just that was just, and we played a bunch of songs ranging from Kennedy to Ode to Joy with them. And it was really wonderful for me to see that ASO quartet play with the kids, and they sounded beautiful. It was like they, and there was very minimal rehearsal with them for them to be in the birthdays. And I remember telling the Akron Symphony Quartet was that they knew all the song, they just followed the chords, there's no actual music, and they improvised and they played beautifully. And since that time now, they played with us on several occasions, the most recent of which was over at the Summit Art Space, where Heather Meager hosted us, and we played with them on August 5th, that Sunday, and that was a lovely, lovely performance that we, the last performance that we had. So now the goal, we've been steadily growing in terms of the population that we're reaching. So it's no longer now just simply children, teens, and adults with organic disabilities, say with autism, or cerebral palsy, or any of the other organic disabilities. We now have children who have been involved with in accidents or life circumstances that just drastically reduce their ability to function in life. And one of our favorite musicians is a girl named Journey. And Journey was a happy, normal child until about a year ago, where she was involved in a horrific car accident, which unfortunately claimed the lives of her parents. But she ended up being extremely disabled and had a massive traumatic brain injury. And her mother, Cynthia, found our organization and saw that we had a group over in St. Bernard, which is right next to the Ronald McDonald Charity Houses, which is where they're at. Uh-huh. And so she brought Journey over, and Journey just lit up, and she couldn't speak, but she was just kicking around, jumping, and so it was like, that's great. So we have been privileged to start reaching out and exploring those sort of populations. And the goal for Hearts of Music is to truly try to reach every disability, not just the ones that are, say, with Downs or autism, but can we include those at the other end of the life spectrum, so those that are older, those in the 80s and 90s. And I find, at least in my experience, that those adults who have special needs and combined with their old age, the system is less and less able to handle it. And after a certain point, like say about 40 or 50, the bottom starts to drop out about, bottom seems to drop out for things that they're able to do. Mm. They're seen less and less useful. And then on their side, they have it running in their heads, oh, I'm getting older. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast last night. I can barely lift my hand to lift a fork to bring food to my mouth. Mm-hmm. And so they think there's less and less things for them to do. And then at the other far end of hospice care, where you have people that are bedridden and at the end of the life, but they can still make music. And I wanted to see whether can we include that particular population to serve, so to be able to serve from the beginnings of life all the way to end of life, and have them come together under one roof to perform music. And we've been blessed to be able to partner with the Akron Symphony to bring that about so that they can actually play with regular musicians. And I'll never forget our first gala. Mm-hmm. And we have a joke going around with us that most nonprofits, such as yourself, mm-hmm. and others, usually hold the first gala the first year of life. We held ours 6 years after the fact, but we packed the Akron Civic Theater with over 170 people, and we got to have the lovely voices of the Summit Choral Society, who came to join, who loaned us their children's choir to sing with us, and the Akron Symphony Quartet, and we could see everybody under one roof just performing music together. And so for that, for me, that was wonderful. We had about, I believe, we had about 25 kids and adults for our Hearts for Music musicians, ranging from ages 6 years old and all the way till 70. And at the on the older adults, we had seniors who were blind and deaf. And on the younger end, we had Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, autism. So that gala was really nice because that night, as far as we know, that has never been done before.
Yeah.
On a scale and scope, it has never been done before. If you have, you do have, like I said, ensembles that do try to include disabilities, playing actual acoustic instruments, or adaptive instruments, but they still run into the problem where there's still exclusions. And I wanted there to be as far as possible, little to no exclusions for that. And it was just wonderful. We played the half an hour set, and right now we have a range of about, 30, 40 songs.
Wow.
That we can dip into our hat. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. We've made many friends and partners along the way. You're wonderful organization, Voices for Voices, which advocates for mental illness. We have made friends with the Akron Symphony, the Summit Choral Society, the Summit Art Space, and we're looking now to have our roots firmly planted in Summit County and beyond. So in a nutshell, that's what Hearts for Music is. It's using music to spread the love and joy and acceptance of our neighbor, to love our neighbor the way Christ taught us to love it, and use music as a vehicle to to touch every heart. And we're living now in an age of where the word inclusion is a big thing, is inclusion all the time. And we wanted the inclusion to be to the extreme limit. And we are so grateful, especially for the Akron Symphony that said, we want to open our doors to those with special needs. We want to be able to include everybody as far as possible in the joy of creating, performing, and appreciating music. The Akron Symphony with Paul Jarrett, Urzella Matheson, and all the other lovely people I have been just absolutely wonderfully supportive of all that we're doing. So we're looking to, especially with 2024, wonderful things to happen with them.
Yeah, and later this week, you'll be playing for the mayor of Akron.
January 6th. Yes, we will. January 6th. So we were very blessed when we performed with the Akron Symphony at the Summit Art Space on August 5th. And Mayor Shamas, I sent out an email to Mayor Shamas asking him, hey, if you're in the area, come on by. And he brought his family along to see us. And so that was wonderful because he got to see what we can do, what we are able to do, and the potential for it. So he asked us to perform for his swearing-in ceremony on Saturday, January 6th. And we are very, very excited to be able to do that. And that, I believe, is at 1 p.m. And that will be live streamed. So there will be links to being able to view our performance via live stream on YouTube and other social media platforms.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. I remember at the beginning of learning to know you and the work that you do, maybe on the, I believe it's on the website, and I think it caught my eye was in ear about how you wanted to bring everybody, any type of disability, to be able to play music. That there was you were at a performance, and there was a little girl with her family, and she whispered said to her parents, about the performers on stage, like, I'm going to do that someday.
Yep.
And the parents kind of just, like, the look of like, yeah, like, I don't know if like that's going to be possible. And to see basically taking that mindset of like, okay, we need to make it happen.
Yeah.
And whether your gala's in year one or five or six, seven, it doesn't matter. You're touching, you're reaching populations here in Summit County, Northeast Ohio. You just expanded recently to the state of Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Yep. And you've also, your parents live in Singapore, and you're able to take a few iPads over there to get that going. Can you speak a little bit about just that growth mentality and how awesome that is?
So, and that was, and what you spoke about, about parents and their children, a lot of parents either go to see, say, a Taylor Swift concert or a symphony, and a lot of their kids with disabilities would be like, that is so awesome. I want to be just like that. And at the back of the head, the parents are going, that's great, my darling. It's a wonderful idea. But at the back of the head, they're going, it will never happen. Mm-hmm. And Hearts for Music was designed to make that happen, to be able to give them the opportunity to perform on stage. And so that being said, too, one of the things I tell people all around that I meet is that these kids are not circus animals. Mm-hmm. Kids with disabilities that are playing music, they're not circus animals. They're not people or creatures that we teach tricks to and we just show off in front of them. We exist to bring them dignity through music, to give them that opportunity to be able to perform in a way that's never before, to unite to them, to create new friendships that otherwise, like I said, would have never happened. We have friendships that are formed between four-year-old kiddos in wheelchairs with 80-year-old Alzheimer's in wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. And those friendships before that would have never have happened because there were no reason to visit them. And especially those in nursing home, It's very rare that you get people with special needs visiting other people with special needs and their friends. So we wanted to try and bring that together. And we were very blessed this summer to start a group in Pennsylvania, specifically Allentown, well, Schnecksville and Allentown. And Jackie Bucks and Maddie have reached out to me over there, and they said, we saw your program online and we would like to try and see whether we could transplant that idea over there. And God bless their hearts, they did. And so we have a group in Pennsylvania. So we're starting to expand beyond Ohio. And my parents live in Singapore, and when I went to visit them over the summer, I brought a couple of iPads over to see if we could start something similar. And the response over there was wonderful. So we're slowly looking at, you know, bringing that program to everywhere. Yeah. And as Pinky and the Brain love to say, we look to take over the world.
Take over the world.
Bed by bed. But it's been a wonderful period of growth. For here locally, we have received a tremendous amount of support from Summit County organizations like Summit Art Space, Summit DD, Nicole Mullet and gang over at Arts Now have been wonderful supporters of us. So we're like, well, looks like Akron and Summit Space will be where we will start planting roots and growing our trees and growing from there. And with Mayor Shamas and his wonderful city of Akron lending a hand, we're looking to grow and use Akron as our base to spread that love of music and inclusivity to everyone. So we're very, 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 very excited for all the new things that are starting to happen.
And for that person, that individual that's listening and watching this episode, help give them maybe a word of wisdom of, you might see something and think it's not possible, mm-hmm. and that with enough thought and planning and meeting people along the way, how that impossible can be possible, and not to give up on yourself.
Correct. And that's our motto. Our motto is transforming disabilities into abilities. And I myself am deaf. So I lost my hearing when I was a teen in my left side, and about a year ago, my right side went completely kaput in me. So it was quite the surreal experience, one day just waking up and not hearing anything. And you know it's really bad when a fire engine sneaks up on you and you can't hear any sound.
Oh my gosh.
So it's been quite the roller coaster of a year for my poor ears. And I'm very, very blessed to be the keyboardist for First Snow.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful tribute to all your holiday rock favorite musics, and we perform every year around the Christmas season. And First Snow has been wonderfully gracious in having me as one of their two keyboardists on there, despite the fact that I'm deaf and I can't hear anything. So, and for me, being deaf, which is a hidden disability, has enabled me to really appreciate and understand those who have hidden disabilities. Because a lot of the time, you don't see, it's not like Down syndrome, mm-hmm. which has a very overt physical manifestation. People who have mental illness, you know, don't have that hidden disability in them. So it's made me more aware of those hidden disabilities. And again, it goes down to where you don't judge your neighbor, you accept them as they are. And Hearts of Music aims to create that environment where you close your eyes and you just hear music. I hope someday to have our performances where we give everybody blindfolds. Mm-hmm. We just blindfold them and just have them just listen to the music, and then lift the eye, you know, at the end of the performance, they lift off their blindfolds and they see, oh, that person is, you know, missing toes, missing fingers. You know, we have, and it's not just the disabled the physically disabled, also the emotionally disabled. So think war orphans, you know, especially those that have been involved in wars. Can we reach out to them? Because everyone has a disability. There is no one that does not have a disability. We want to try and collide all those worlds as much as possible and partner with national symphonies to raise awareness and inclusivity, to really bring inclusivity to the forefront. And with the Akron Symphony has been a wonderful stepping stone for us to demonstrate to the world that, hey, these kids and adults who can't read a lick of music, who can't play an instrument, can actually perform alongside professional musicians mm-hmm. and create something that's beautiful. And I often tell people, yes, they'll make mistakes. We don't care.
No, we all make mistakes.
The joy of playing music, you know. And I'll never forget two of my our beloved Hearts for Music musicians, Elizabeth and Kimberly, who I've been their music therapist for a good number of years. And when I first started teaching them music, they were born deaf. Mm. And they had no speech therapy for a good number of years. So for majority of the years, their speech was very flat, very gray. Mm-hmm. And when I first started teaching them the concept of music and music, everything that was music related, trying to explain music to them was often like telling a blind man what the color blue was, who has never seen the color blue. Yeah. And fast forward, you know, a good bunch of years, they now play the cello and the violin because they can feel the vibrations. They are able to tell pitch, whether it's flat, it's sharp. But the most important thing is they love what they're doing. You see the joy in the faces that they play. And when they played for our gala with the Akron Symphony and the Summit Choral Society, and I remember Steve coming up, Steve Ostro is the principal violinist for the Akron Symphony, and he's got a wonderful, generous heart. God bless that man. He walked up to and played next to Kimberly and Elizabeth. And I remember Kimberly and Elizabeth running up to the mom post-show and saying, I feel like a real musician. When he played next to me, I felt like a real musician. And so that idea was born in the head, in my crazy little head, can we embed those children and an orchestra? And so one of the goals down the road is to actually make them an actual orchestra format and to dovetail the kids in, you know, with a symphony of that caliber, mm-hmm. a large ensemble, but not where they're actually separate.
Yeah, bring them.
They're mixed, they're intermixed together. So hopefully we'll bring that dream about alive sometime in the near future. But having the Summit Choral Society kids and the ASO coming together for the first time ever, I can tell for sure that was the first time ever that we had professional musicians play alongside kids with disabilities. Seeing that, can I make that on a bigger scale?
Yeah.
Can we now include, say, an entire symphony or an entire choir and drop them all on one roof playing together? So that's one of my crazy dreams to realize before I die.
Yeah. I mean, well on your way. And not only the thoughts and how the individuals that are in your orchestra are feeling, but you, an individual that started this movement, how does it make you feel when these interactions are taking place, the music's being played, the smiles, the laughter, the hugs, just that warmth of a professional musician playing with me? How's all that make you emotionally feel?
It gives me, first and foremost, hope. Great hope and great, like, to see, like, you know, if you look at the way the way things are, being able to bring people together that otherwise would never order during me, to see those friendships develop, it brings me great hope and a great sense of joy. And I am very, very, very blessed to have a wonderful core group of board members that have come across, and volunteers, and the parents, and the families who shuttle their kids back and forth. So I feel a great sense of gratitude to people having me, who have helped me bring this about, from 5-6 kiddos in the basement of Hilltop Church to
right.
playing at the Akron Civic, theater. And a small little secret. There is a small possibility we may be going to Rome to play in St. Peter's Square.
That's right.
The Vatican has declared 2025 a jubilee year. And part of that year in April is dedicated specifically towards persons with disabilities. So one day, I just sat down and shot off a crazy email saying, hey, I hear you're having this week or two of celebrating people with disabilities over in Rome. And can we come and crash St. Peter's
right.
Square and
yeah.
play for
can
you all?
It?
And they actually wrote back and said, we think it's an intriguing idea. So we asked for prayers that might happen.
Yes.
We are asking for help and donations to help us do Rome 2025 in April. So it's still a small possibility, but that possibly keeps getting a little bit bigger. But the idea now is, can we bring that to all parts of the world? We've managed to bring it successfully to Pennsylvania, and we're looking to grow and plant a Hearts for Music group in much of Northeast Ohio and everywhere and anywhere, and then bring that group, you know, all those people playing under one roof together, under one theater, and I think it'll be just amazing.
Yeah, and it sounds like you had a dream at some point. That dream started in the basement of the Hilltop mm-hmm. Church, and you're just going one day at a time, one performance, mm-hmm. one interaction
yep.
to do that. And I think that's inspiring to me, who is also dreaming and trying to do things that other people and organizations might say, well, that's a wild idea to do that. That'd be nice if you could do it. But is it really possible?
Yeah. And it's possible.
And it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the big thing, like I told you at the beginning, is I didn't want these kids to be circus animals.
Yeah.
They're not circus out. We're not training them and then just splitting out to the world and collecting money for their tricks. I wanted them to be actually actively engaged in the community. I wanted them to go out, irregardless of the age and disability, show I can still be useful. It's about increasing their self-confidence, their self-esteem, their self-worth, and showing the entire world we can still do this. Even at our last moments of life, we can still do this. Even though we can barely lift a finger, we can still do something that's valuable. So one of the things, so it's a community orchestra. So it's not just built to entertain.
Yeah.
I wanted them to go out and do something useful. So this past year, we were overjoyed when we got asked to do a wedding.
Oh,
like, we got asked to come out to do a wedding and mentor and perform. And for some of these musicians who have never in their lives been invited to a wedding, mm-hmm. that was a big deal. And so we went out, and so I told them, look, we've mm-hmm. gone and we've made somebody's special day more special.
That's right.
And so the orchestra exists not just simply to perform for sheer entertainment. We want there to be a purpose. Okay, can we perform not just for entertainment, but can we impact somebody's lives? So that bride and groom that we played for, their day was made much more blessed by them being, by our orchestra being there and playing for them. So yeah, we can play.
Wow.
And we've been in asked to do another wedding for 2024. And that will be in Cuyahoga Falls, I believe, sometime in September. So we're very excited to do that. So shout out to all your listeners. If you guys have a wedding or any other special event, the kids would love to play, and it's giving them, it's about giving them opportunities to perform in the community, to interact in the community than in the way that's not been ever done before anywhere.
And that's so awesome, because you're in a sense an inventor in what you're bringing, kind of the chemistry to together of the instruments and the iPads and the sound, and it's just remarkable that what you're doing hasn't been done before. So you're a real trailblazer when it comes to the work, and I think, you know, church and the higher power having a little bit of help hasn't hurt.
Yep.
That we as humans we can do so much physically, mentally, but then when we bring a higher power into the fold, that really might jumpstart or take a rocket and take us way higher, closer to that dream, that goal, than we ever thought we could do by ourselves.
Right. And that was also the reason I deliberately made it a 501c3, why we are a nonprofit. We exist to serve the community. And as I've told, I like to tell people, we are professional beggars.
Yeah.
And we rely on the charity of compassion, but we exist not just to serve, we exist to serve the kids and adults with special needs and disabilities and other organizations such as yourselves, Expand, because in the end, we are all one big, giant family, and we help each other, and we should be there for each other. So I'm very, very glad that we received our 501c3, and we received it really fast, too. So that was wonderful. But I was so happy when we received that status, and we're tax exempt, and so we encourage everybody. There are many organizations such as yourselves that do absolutely wonderful work, and I encourage everybody that's listening to donate to your wonderful organization. And if you have any spare change, to throw it out, throw it our way, and to come to our performances whenever we host them. So we're slowly expanding, and 2023. Was a wonderful year of growth, and 2024 now looks to be more exciting with things that we can do. We have a little more money in the kitty. We have made more friends and partners, so we now have the ability to do things that are actually, at least in my head, doable. So we just take over the world and give that joy and love of music to everyone with a disability. And like I said, with very few exceptions, we try to include everybody. The only caveat I tell parents is maybe there's some of your loved ones who may have aggressive or unpredictable behaviors. They can still participate. We live in a wireless world, and I've got 20-foot cord, so we always try to find a way for them to be able to participate as much as possible. But I'm very glad and ecstatic to see where it's gone and where it's going. And so I'm very, very hopeful and grateful to all the love and support that we've received.
Yeah, I mean, all the conversations, the meetings we've had, just constantly more and more impressed with just, I feel like your mind and my mind work similarly on kind of parallel planes of when an opportunity comes along, You try it. You give it a shot. That there could be the opportunity that fails, or it might do well, or it might take a little bit longer time. But give it a shot.
Yeah.
And that's all
Absolutely.
We can really ask on anything from a personal relationship to organization to bringing in everybody to together, regardless whether it's you can see the disability or not. The one thing that kind of brings, I think, everybody together is music. So that's how I think things are really moving as well, especially with you touching the end of life care mm-hmm. as well. That I'm not a doctor or a surgeon, but the hearing is that that's one of the last senses that kind of
yes.
kind of goes, and so yeah. it's huge deal right. with what you're doing and others in that field mm-hmm. to play music mm-hmm. at that time to have that individual feel at peace.
Right. And the unique thing about the orchestra, and this comes from my hospice work too, it's not just treating the patient or the person in front of you, it's about the family. So when hospice, it wasn't just sitting by that loved one who was actively dying mm-hmm. And playing them songs. I wanted the family to come in and we play and we sing together. Uh-huh. So in our orchestra performances, I encourage the families, like the parents, like a father or mother, to sit with the child as they're performing, to play with them. Mm. So it's not just, okay, we're just distance, right. and there's that symbolic or physical distancing. I wanted them to be engaged in part of their lives. Mm. It's the same thing when I do my one-on-one clinical work, and I do it in all their homes, so I don't have an office. So I will go to the child's home mm-hmm. and do my work there. And the wonderful thing is if the child has a favorite book or a favorite toy, they can just run up to the room and grab it, yeah. and the parents are nearby, and I can say, let's be part of that session. So there's no closed door. It's not like you have a child that walks into a typical therapy room, closes the door, and the parent's outside reading the newspaper.
Right.
I didn't want that. I wanted something that could integrate them, because it's not just the child I'm treating, it's the entire family. The family has to be part of that. And so I extend that that concept to my orchestra, where I encourage the families to be part of their rehearsals and the sessions. And in terms of format, we have multiple groups running throughout Northeast Ohio and Pennsylvania. But every group learns exactly the same thing, identical. And every group is made up about anywhere from four to about six kids or adults. And the cool thing is, I never know who's going to show up. And that's the nature of specialists. I truly never know who's going to show up, even on the day of the performance, because I can't tell you how many times I've had some parents call out to me 5 minutes before performance and say, my kiddo's having a meltdown in the driveway. We're not going to make it. And that's just that's the nature of that working with them. And so the orchestra is designed to be easy on parents. There is, you know, we don't tell them you have to be there, or and if you don't, be there, be square. Mm-hmm. We tried to structure it in a way that invites the parents to try and attend when they can, and give them that leeway of, okay, some things might go wrong. I mean, we've had performances where a kiddo might get up and just walk
around. Just start walking
around. Right? And everybody's still playing, and we're like, he does this. He'll come back.
He'll come back.
Yeah. And he'll come back and play, but they'll play music. But there's that love and the acceptance of that disability. But every group learns exactly the same thing. There's that intimacy that comes from having a small number of kids and adults and participants. But also, too, I made it small for our sanity.
Yeah.
And it's sake. And so the only time that you get really big is when we get to the performances, and then we call everybody again. And so it's wonderful to see like 25, 30 kids and adults of all ages, all disabilities, all in one roof. And I can tell them, okay, we're planning Canon and D. And everybody knows exactly what to do. So we don't necessarily have to rehearse for performances. So we've designed it to make it as easy and convenient for parents and guardians of those with special needs to call, because it's a lot. And that's part of the reason why in my daily clinical work I chose to drive to the homes, because when I found out 20 years ago how much of a pain in the butt it was to get a child, and especially in the dead of winter, in a snowstorm, load them up in the car, bundle them up, load them in the car, load the wheelchair, and then drive 45 minutes, an hour to the students. And so I chose to come to their homes so that they, okay, we don't have to stress about bringing, about fighting with a child to get them out the door, much less into a car. So I tried to extend that concept in our orchestra to make it as convenient as we can for families. So they just pick a location that is nearest. So for in Summit County, we have been blessed to have a home in St. Bernard, in beautiful St. Bernard, to rehearse and to hold rehearsals there. So St. Bernard is currently our headquarters for all, serving all the Summit Deity. We have a group running over in Brecksville with the Therapy and Wellness Center, which is a wonderful, wonderful therapy center for children and teens with disabilities. And Jacqueline McClermont and Hannah McFlynn are directors and owners of the center, and I can't say enough good things about them and the kindness in letting us use the center. We have another group running in Mentor with the Deepwood Developmental Center. And if you're in anywhere in Allentown in Pennsylvania, in Schnecksville area, come on by. Jackie and Debbie would be more than happy to receive you. So we're looking to opening up new groups. We're exploring one in Worcester. But the goal idea is to have a group planted in as much of Northeast Ohio as we can. And when we get to performances, have them come to Gabe. And when we do serve, we're very blessed to have Medina County Home. We serve a group, they're older adults at Medina County Home. And Janet George and Jane Back of Access the Arts have been wonderful collaborators and partners in helping us to open up that doors, as well as AC Passages. Amber Clark runs, is the director and owner of AC Passages in Wadsworth, which serves adults with disabilities, and they have too been a wonderful group that we rehearse with on those two sides. So across the spectrum, we have been able to serve all ages and all disabilities.
Wow. So wrapping things up, I am just curious, how do you keep all this straight? Like, there's so many great things going on. Like, it sounds like it could be chaotic in the mind a little bit. How do you keep that straight? Or
God's been very good. God's my awesome secretary. So in heaven, God's my secretary. On earth, I've been very blessed to have Connie Edict, who is our board secretary, who has just been wonderful in helping keep things straight. And our treasurer is Audrey Jackson. My vice president is Rick Fredo, and Jackie Bucks and PA is our PA board director. So I've been very blessed to be surrounded with a core team of wonderful, wonderful people to help me realize that particular vision. We have Carolyn Stevens, who's just recently agreed to help us, especially in terms of fundraising. So we're so glad to rely on her and other people's advice and wisdom to help us grow. So that's how I keep straight, and my beloved family. So my wife Kim and my children Kate and Carissa have been wonderful in supporting this endeavor and bearing with me through all this craziness. So it's a little bit by little bit. Every day I do hear a marble drop. I do hear marbles drop, and it's like, okay, I'm missing something, but I do. So I try to keep things straight with everybody's help around around me. But thanks be to God, I've got wonderful help here, both in heaven and earth, to help me realize this, and especially your help.
Oh yeah, you're welcome. It's just amazing the evolution just since I've known you with Hearts for Music, and I recommend anybody that's listening or watching to reach out to Mr. Kitchrell Chin about information, about meetings, how to get started, the performances. I think the starting point, would that be?
So for currently for our rehearsals, we meet at the moment once a week, but now with we've been really blessed to have Haley Phillips, whom we're looking to try and bring on full-time to help us serve all Summit Deity, and she is a wonderful young music therapist. with the absolute heart of gold. And she's going to help us expand in Summit County. And we're hoping to have, right now as it stands, we have sessions running on Saturdays. But we're hoping to expand that throughout the week. And we encourage everybody to call us. And we can open it up to multiple groups and multiple sessions and that. They meet once a week for usually about an hour and a half. And sessions usually begin in the middle, will begin in the middle of January, about the second or third Saturday in January, and they run to about the middle of May. And then summer's reserved for performances, and then we start the fun up back up in middle of September. We run it to the middle of December. And they can contact us at www.heartsformusic.org. And we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we absolutely accept all donations, in-kind donations as well as monetary donations, and all of them go towards helping bring the joy of music to all people with disabilities on infrastructure. And I will add in closing that we are about fun. I wanted this to be fun for everybody, and there is this lovely story that I relate to a lot of families of. Really, I forgot which group it was, but it was, he was the lead guitarist for a very, very well-known rock group. And he walked up to, it was performance night, and he says, as he relates it, he remembers walking up to the stage door, then stopping, looking at the stage door, and then just turning around, getting by his car, driving away, and everybody's wondering, what happened to him? And he relates that it's, he just realized when he got to the stage door that for all the money and the fame that they had, it wasn't fun anymore. There was no joy in it whatsoever. And I want there I want there to be, for as long as this organization exists and as long as God allows it to exist, for it to be fun for both the people participating, the families that are supporting, and for the people listening, that is just engaged in that we have a great time, mistakes and all. And for them, for the kids that and the adults that we serve, to be able to say, like, yeah, I can be on stage playing with other people who are just like me and giving that joy and appreciation music to those listening around. So our website, again, is heartsformusic.org. We are, as I said, a non-charity 501c3. We gratefully accept donations. We also gratefully accept slave labor.
A little tongue-in-cheek there. Great. Well, Mr. Kitchrill-Chin, thank you again for joining us.
Oh, the absolute joy and blessing.
So rich with information, and wish you and Hearts for Music and all your endeavors. Nothing but the best.
We do have, so for this January coming up, big performances are January 6th at the A.J. Thomas Hall for Mayor Shamas Malik's swearing-in ceremony, which runs from, we're performing at 1 p.m. That will be televised. We are also performing at downtown at the Akron Public Library on January 20th. And that's a Saturday, I believe that's at 1:30. And we also will be having our second gala and performance over at the Akron Civic Theater on May 7th. And we are terribly, terribly grateful to Howard Parr and the staff and the board of directors over the Akron Civic for generously letting us invade that theater on May 7th. And that'll be at 7 p.m.
Great. On May 7th. And we invite you, our listeners, our viewers, to check out the heartsformusic.org website, follow and join them on Facebook to learn more about the organization, to participate, to come to the performances, to find the links for the live streams. And again, a big thank you to Mr. Kitchrill-Chin for joining us today. And a huge thank you to you, our listeners, our viewers, right here in Summit County and across the world. So until next time, I am Justin Allen Hayes, the founder and executive director of Voices for Voices. And we hope that you have a good day, and please be a voice for you or somebody in need.